Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Ooh. Hey. Fix the mic. Hey, Reg, how you doing? Oh, thumbs not up or down. Meh? So? Okay. We're all entitled to one of those. Don't worry about it. You always can't be in a great mood. I have to be in a great mood because I have to perform here, my friend. But you're okay in there. It's all right. Just as long as you hit the buttons, whatever little problems you have, you know, just don't let it affect the pushing of the buttons. All right. Are you ready to go? Mr. Okay. Well, I am. So let's just do this thing. Put it in the book. 464, episode 464. Three S's, star, smile, strong. Okay, Reg, we need you on that button. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And why the heck isn't it theirs too? Listening's important, but getting out there and spreading the word, hey, that's right up there. That's a close second. Your continued loyalty and devotion are much, much appreciated. If you like what you hear, don't forget you can always go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section of that website, and then hit the prompt for this specific podcast, and then stand back. It's as if you walked into a cave filled with jewels. On the walls, on the floors, on the ceiling, packed in there. Within that prompt are podcast after podcast after podcast of pure gold for your listening pleasure. Scroll down and load more. Keep scrolling, keep loading. We'll keep podcasting. Like right today, episode 464. 464. 464. Uh-oh. That means next podcast is 465. We love things that end in a 0 and a 5 when we make a countdown, don't we? Ooh. But that doesn't diminish the importance of this podcast. Just because it has a 4 at the end doesn't mean it's less important. It's just as important. All 464 podcasts, even including this one, which we haven't even done yet, are important. So just because it has a 4 or a 3 or a 2 or a 1 after it, that's okay. 0 and 5 we love. But, you know, those 8s and those 7s and those 6s, they're just as important. And speaking of numbers, how's that for a segue? Thank you very much. Speaking of numbers, you'll understand it in about 2 seconds. Speaking of numbers, today, as this podcast is posted, if all things in the world go the way they're supposed to, this podcast posts the day before tax day. April 15th, this podcast will be posting on April 14th. If you are listening to this today, on the 14th, when this posts, the first time you can hear it, if you're one of those first day podcast listeners, that as soon as we post the new Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic podcast for the week on Mondays around 8 o'clock in the morning, if you are there and you are hitting this, have you done your taxes yet? If you haven't, why the hell are you listening to a podcast? Do your taxes. No. It's all right. I'll give you an hour. You have an hour. You've got 24 hours still or so. So, you know, listen to the podcast and then do all the numbers stuff. But no, it's the day where we are approaching the day. Tomorrow, April 14th, is tax day. And everybody gets so freaked out about tax day. And I was thinking about this because, you know, really, if you listen to me with any kind of regularity, you know that I pride myself on being pretty organized. Okay, I talked about decluttering long before that was a word, and someday I will find that. I would say 20 years ago, no, I would say about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I coined that phrase. I know I did. Decluttering. Everybody talks about decluttering today. I coined that phrase on the radio, on WGN, during the afternoon show with Gary Meyer. I coined that phrase. I was talking about at the time that I was going to do a major, all this stuff I had collected over the years and stuff that I saved, and I had all these bins in the house and some in the garage and some in the basement and all over the place, and I was going to, and I said, I'm going to declutter. There's too much clutter. I want to declutter my life and declutter all this stuff. And I did a major decluttering. And I made that proclamation that I was going to declutter. And then over the last 5 or 6, 7 years, I'm hearing that phrase all the time. People are writing books. They're New York Times bestsellers. Declutter, declutter, declutter. Now it's a part of the lexicon. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I invented that word. No credit. Anyway. So I was just thinking about the tax date, because as I said, I pride myself on being very organized. And it's funny because in my lifetime, now I've been filling out tax forms since I was 16 years old. I shouldn't say that. I was 17 when I got my first job at a Jewel grocery store. And I was 17. It was like the summer of being 17. And so I've been filling out tax forms for quite a few years, quite a few decades, if you will. And it's so funny how they go from, at the beginning, when you first start working, it's pretty easy, right? I mean, you're 18, 17-year-old kid. There's not much to do. You don't have any write-offs. You don't have any dependents. You don't have any mortgage tax credits. You don't have any stocks. You don't have anything. So it's like, you do. I mean, in fact, I even remember, if I'm remembering correctly, if there are any tax historians out there, some pop culture tax historians, wasn't there a short form? I thought there was a short form of taxes. That for a while, in my early days of working, I was able to fill out the short form. That I seem to remember the short form. And the funny thing is that as you go on, and hopefully you become a little more successful, or you gain, you start to earn a little more money, the tax situation and the tax form becomes a lot more complicated. You can't use the short form anymore. I think if you have an ambition in life, if there is or was a tax short form, I seem to remember that for some reason. It just popped into my head right now. The short form. I just remember the short form. I think that was about taxes. Because I remember it being fairly easy to file my taxes early on. The short form didn't have many. There was nothing to do. Like I said, no deductions, no dependents. You just put down, here's my, my part-time salary, and here's what I earned, and what did you take out, and whatever. Boom. It was pretty simple. It was the short form. But I think a goal in life is to not be able, you know, you shouldn't be like 45 and still doing the short form. You don't want to be still filling out the tax short form when you're 40, 45 or 50. You know, you hopefully have graduated up. So you have a few more little things that you can take off. And then you're suddenly worried about, you know, tax credits and charitable donations and mortgage write-offs and capital gains or capital losses and all the rest of that stuff. I think, you know, as complex as it gets, that sort of means that you're bringing in a little scratch, if you know what I mean. The short form is pretty easy. And so, you know, put down a number. Here's what they took out. Here's what you paid and boom, done. Thank you. Filed. I was thinking about how, you know, when you start out, it's pretty easy and then gets a little complicated. And then I would assume as you get a little older, it probably becomes a little less complicated again. You know, I mean, I never had a, you know, children, but you know, there's the children deductible. Okay. That's gone after a certain point. And, you know, if you pay off your house, you know, your mortgage payment isn't deductible anymore. There's all these different things. So it is funny how your tax filings kind of reflect your life, really. I mean, I think you could actually, I never thought about this. Not that this podcast isn't completely scripted all the time. joke. But I bet you if you took a lifetime, look, say 45 years worth, 40 years, depending on when you maybe got your first job. If you took 40 years worth of your tax forms, and somehow you were able to get them all back from the government, all the copies, and you lined them up, I it would be interesting to see the progress or the trajectory, or you could probably see, like, you could probably tell a person's life to a great extent by their tax forms. As I said at the beginning, you know, you do the short form, you do the easy thing. You got it. So clearly, oh, hey, you know, this person's got a part-time job for a while. Okay, there's a little income there. Oh, well, wait a minute. They haven't filed in 2 years. Oh, but they didn't have any income. Oh, well, maybe they got fired from their job. Oh, what? How old are they? Oh, maybe they're in college now. Maybe they went away to college, so they don't have a job anymore. Oh, okay. Well, over here, all of a sudden, they start to make money again. They must have got their first job out of college. And oh, okay, it's not as much. It's not as easy as the short form anymore. A little more money there, but still relatively easy. Okay. What's this? Wow, what a jump in income. Wow, somebody must have got a raise. Nice. A couple years later. Wait a minute. What does this mean? Filing jointly? It looks like somebody got married. Who's Mary? I never saw her name on this guy's tax forms before. Oh, it looks like Mary and Tom are married. Interesting. Oh, they're filing jointly. Okay. What's that? Oh, they're taking a mortgage tax credit. Oh, looks like, well, yeah, the address is different. It looks like Tom and Mary, who got married a couple of years ago, have now bought a house, and they're writing off their mortgage payments. No, interesting. Oh, and they're writing off their property taxes off that. Oh, okay, nice. And let's keep paging through. Oh, look, Tom and Mary. Wait, whoa. Under dependents, it says one. Oh, Tom and Mary must have had a child. Oh, isn't that nice? They've got their jobs. They got married. They've got their jobs. They bought a house, and now they've got a child. Oh, isn't that nice? Oh, what's this? A couple years. Oh, whoa. Two dependents. Oh, isn't that nice? Oh, let's see what's going on here. Oh, interesting. Capital gains. Oh, it looks like Tom has invested some money in a few stocks. It looks like he's beginning to have a portfolio here. He actually made some extra income from that. Well, good for you, Tom. Putting away a little money, extra money for the kids' educations and their futures. Very nice. Okay, we'll speed up a couple of years later. Oh, what's this? A loss. Oh, it looks like Tom tried to start his own business. Well, he's starting off. He's taken the plunge there, but it looks like he left that other company and he started his own business here, and he had a loss this year. Well, keep up the good work, Tom. We're rooting for you. We're rooting for you and Mary. And a couple of years go by. Wow. Oh, another loss for Tom. Geez, I hope things are doing okay. Okay, well, hey, look at this. Wow, no more loss here. Tom must have really established his business. Tom is booming. In fact, it looks like Tom has even bought a new house with a much higher mortgage write-off and a higher property tax. Well, good for you, Tom. Good for you. And we keep filing, and it looks like Tom, because over the last 10 years, Tom is steadily, adding to his income, and he's putting money away for stocks, and he opened up, there's a couple of 401ks that he opened here for himself. Okay, he's doing a good job. Nice job, Tom and Mary and the two kids. They seem to be doing just fine. And so we page through a couple of years later, and what happened here? Well, it's been about 17 or 18 years now that Tom and Mary have been together, and we've seen, some fluctuations in their income and some of their write-offs and in some of their tax, their charitable donations and things like that. They seem to be at the same house for a good period of time after the business seemed to blossom. They were in that house together for a while, but this is interesting. They're not filing jointly anymore. It's just Tom's name on here now. Well, let me look a little closer here. Oh dear, he's paying alimony payments. Oh, poor Tom and Mary. I hope the kids are okay. Well, looks like Tom's income is a little less than it was too now. Certainly he's filing separately again. I think Tom must be a single guy again. Oh, that's too bad, Tom. Sorry about that. It looks like your business is doing okay, but, you're paying a little chunk for child support and alimony there. Okay, well, good luck to you, Tom, as well as to you, Mary, and the kids. Never an easy situation. And let's page up a little few more years later. Oh, it looks like Tom got married again. He's filing jointly once again. Well, good for Tom. He's moving on. No, not sure what happened to Tom and Mary, but he's moving on. And there's someone else on his filing jointly here. Oh, she looks a little younger. Oh, well. And let's keep paging through. And interesting. There's one from last year, but there's no tax form for this year from Tom. There doesn't seem to be. Oh, what a shame. Tom is deceased. He won't be filing a form this year. Sorry to get so dramatic at the end there, but I mean, think about that. If you had a stack of tax forms from your, say, mid to late teenage years, and I know a lot of kids today, some kids don't even have part-time jobs in high school. In my day, we did. But if you took somebody and took their tax forms from when they were, you know, a mid to late teenager, let's say they got a job when they were first eligible to get one at 16 or 17 years old and they had to start to file taxes, and you went for the next 50 or 60 years, and hopefully longer, at least, you know, 60 some years, 70 years, you could pretty much, without ever meeting these people, without ever meeting this person, you could almost, here, I just created a fake person, and I created a life. Tom got married. Tom started, he got a part-time job in high school. He went to college. He got a job. He started to do well. He got married. He bought a house. He decided to start his own business. After a couple of years, the business started to thrive. Tom bought a new house. Tom and Mary had two kids. They were married for 17, 18 years. Sadly, they got divorced. Tom was on his own for a couple of years, 5 years. Then he met someone else. They got married. And then as time went on, Tom passed away. I don't know who Tom and Mary are. Little ditty about Tom and Mary. I don't know who Tom and Mary are. I don't know who Tom is, but I just created a life of a person. And it was basically based on how they filed their taxes. So, yeah, you know, taxes are a major part of our lives. And as I said, I remember as a young kid, it was almost kind of cool to have to file taxes. It was a little scary because it really was. I remember when I went and got my first job. I mean, that's, as I said, I was about 17 years old. That's a big deal. I mean, I said, I don't know, in today's world, I don't know how many young kids in high school get part-time jobs. It seems like they're always doing school activities and volunteering and worried about their college exams and their college essays, and they don't really, and their parents don't push a job on them. They want all those nice big things on their resume for their college thing, and then they go through 4 years of college. A lot of times their first job is out of college. I don't know if that's still the case or not. I'm being a little, you know, presumptuous, but I know in my day, whether you went to college or not, most of my friends, we all had part-time jobs when we were in high school. We all had part-time jobs. And I even continued my part-time job through college until I got an internship while I was in college. But I had part-time job throughout my high school and college careers. Not completely all of them, obviously, but what? I would say three and a half, four years before I went. You know, those years until I got an internship my senior year. But I remember when that first year, like even when you applied and you got the job, one of the first things you did when you got a job was what? What do they give you when you sit down? Congratulations. Welcome to the company. And then they give you this packet of information. And inevitably, one of the forms in there is a W-2 form, a United States Internal Revenue Service W-2 form. You don't get a chance to even say, wow, how cool is it? I got a job. The government's already, before you've earned a paycheck, before your first day, the government already has its eyes on you and your earnings. They're already saying, how much do you want deducted? And I remember being a young kid, 17. I don't even deduct what? I didn't know what you're talking about. Definitely had to sit down with my mom and dad and say, what is this form? You know, number of exemptions, 0, 1, I don't know. It was like, wow, you felt like you were starting a whole new life, you know, up until you get your first real job, not just cutting grass or babysitting where somebody gives you $20, you know, no, thank you, blah, blah, blah. No. When you get that real job, when you get that Social Security number, isn't it funny how we all know our Social Security numbers? We've had those numbers since we were, some parents in my day, some parents would actually apply for their kids' Social Security numbers when they were born. They had a Social Security number. They never used it for the first 15, 16, 17, 18 years of their lives, but they had it. That's how geared we were. I don't even know when kids get their Social Security number. I remember I had to get one when I applied for the job. You had to apply for, you know, a Social Security number because the government, here we go. That's your identifying number. And we all know our numbers, don't we? We may have forgotten our phone numbers when we were kids at our parents' homes and things like that, and our addresses or whatever it was, but we all remember that Social Security number. We still know it, and it's not an easy number, right? 3, 2, 4. A lot of numbers there, but we know it. What's Social Security number? What's the last four numbers of Social Security? Boom, boom, boom. You know it. Bop, 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 bop. Now, especially today, oh, please, you know, don't give out your Social Security number. Before, but, I mean, what a difference in terms of the world, too. There was a time when we had, you should have a Social Security card with your number. You should have that. But before, that was a major source of identification. And you would have that in your purse or in your wallet at all times. And you'd pull that out as an ID. And in today's world, that Social Security, with all the computer hacking that's going on, what a difference. But, you know, 40-some years ago, you did not, you just carried your Social Security card with you as an important form of identification. And that number was there for all to see, and people wrote it down. If you were in line, people said, "What's your Social Security number?" And you'd say the whole number. Everybody in behind you in line could hear it. Today, we guard our Social Security numbers. You don't want to put it anywhere. You don't want to say it out loud. It's only the last four numbers that you, if you have to, input it into something. It's always just the last four numbers. You know, there's companies, LifeLock and all this stuff, you know, to make sure that your identity doesn't get stolen. Social Security, your number, that number is so important. We guard that with our lives now. But there was a time when that number, you would have that number available. Everybody in the world had access to your Social Security number, and you didn't care, didn't matter. Oh, I'm sure there was scamming that went on with it, but it hadn't reached the level of scams that go on today, of what that Social Security number can unlock in terms of your identity and all the other different kinds of accounts and things like that. So today we guard that Social Security number, but I remember we used to carry the card around. Had to get a new one because it got so worn out in my wallet. Now it's like, do not carry your Social Security card with you. Do not have it with you at all, anywhere. It's like, wow, what a difference. But I remember that when you got your Social Security number and you got your first job, you filled out your first tax form. You didn't even know it. But there it was, the W-2 form. Boom. It just felt, life felt different. You felt official. You felt grown up. I was only 17 years old, but I suddenly felt grown up. The government knows who I am now. Before, I was just known in my neighborhood with my friends and family in school. Now, the Internal Revenue Service knows who I am. Not only my name and my address, but I got a number that identifies me. Whoa. It was really a milestone in your life when you got your first job, because it was almost like you were now legitimized, because you had this social security number and you filled out your first W-2 form. Ooh. And then your life story began. The Tom and Mary story and then from then on, the government could track your life. Just like I did with my made up Tom and Mary story. But I remember, and then I remember, you know, getting this all of a sudden. As a little kid, I remember hearing about tax day, April 15th. I'm not sure how they came up with the date as why. I mean, there's got to be a date somewhere, right? Okay. April 15th. And you'd hear about it, and you'd see your parents doing the taxes. We've got to do our taxes. And you don't even worry about it. And all of a sudden, one day in the mail, if you're old enough to remember this, do you remember this, folks, who are old enough to remember? They used to send you the tax booklet in the mail with your name on it. You knew it was tax time, and the government was reminding you to start getting your documents in order, folks, because April 15th's on its way. All of a sudden, in the mail came this cheaply printed, if you remember, it was on the worst paper. It was this sawdusty paper with horrible color. Oh, it was just awful. It was like it was on the same paper that they made the original old comic books, the cheapest paper possible. And there came your tax form and all the rules. And I remember seeing that thing when it came in the mail, and it was kind of a dread thing. Ooh. The government now is worried about me. I'm on their radar screen here. They're even sending me stuff now. And as I said, I mean, I'm pretty sure for the first several years, a couple of years, I was able to use the short form. But still, got to make sure it's right. It's the government, you know. All you would see in that booklet, that tax booklet that they used to send, it had a sticker with your name on it, if you remember. Part of the deal was that the sticker, you would peel it off. It, you know, this is the government. You know, they were recycling. They had recycling on their minds long before anyone else did. So this poorly printed booklet with your tax form and all the rules and where to put all the different numbers would arrive. It was printed on this horrible paper with really ugly coloring. It looked awful, but you knew what it was because it said on the front, you know, tax form, United States Treasury, Internal Revenue Service. It looked unlike any other mail that you got. Especially if you're a young kid, how much mail did you get at the time? How much mail do you get today, really, in real mail, snail mail? But there was a time when we would get real mail at the door, delivered. A whole different world now. Everything's electronic, but there was a time when you'd actually get big bundles of mail. And most of it was fun. If you were a kid, it's only when you got older that mail stopped being fun. Mail stopped being fun when you started to get older and you started to do things because you got bills. Before, you know, when you're a teenager, before that, Mail was fun. It was always something cool. Maybe you sent away for something that was fun. Somebody sent you a card for your birthday or for Christmas. A lot of times there may even been a check in there or some gift. Or maybe you got a box for your birthday. As I said before, you sent away for something. When you were young, getting mail was cool and fun. There was always something interesting about it. You didn't dread getting mail. As we get older, we dread getting mail. Oh, there's a credit card bill. I thought they'd forget this. Oh, there's the car payment. Oh, there's the mortgage payment. Oh. You don't really look forward to the mail anymore, do you? Although that has changed somewhat, because to mitigate the downside of mail with the bills, now we all online shop. So thanks to Jeff Bezos and Amazon and all the online shopping stores, now we can at least look forward to fun packages to mitigate the bad news that we get on a monthly basis with our bills. So we've been able to, we're always looking to be happy, right? So there was a time when all we got in the mail then was when you get a certain age, all you do is get bills. Even when people send you cards for your birthday, when you hit a certain age, they stop sending you money. They stop sending you gifts. Oh, childhood was so great, isn't it? Yeah, there's certain age you get where, you know, the cards stop coming, and if they do come, they don't have those little checks in it anymore. They don't have McDonald's gift certificates or whatever they used to have. Remember the McDonald's gift certificates? Oh, I used to love getting those as a young kid. Get those in the mail. But yeah, when that tax booklet came, that was serious, man. And if you page through that book, on every page, in almost every paragraph in that tax book, you saw this same word over and over to scare the hell out of you. The word penalty. I would love to see an old tax book that they used to send you, and I'd love to go through it now and count how many times the word penalty was in there. They were there to scare. You better not cheat. You better list every item that needs to be set, or there will be a penalty. Penalty by law. Penalty by law. Penalty by law. Penalty by. It was in every paragraph on every page. Penalty, penalty, penalty. They wanted to make sure that you knew that there's no cheating here, because there's a penalty. There could be incarceration. There will be fines. There are penalties. There are consequences. Whew. And so I remember for a good portion of my life, of my working life, I should say, I did my own taxes. Now, I don't know how I did them. And I think a lot of times, because I am no mathematician by any means, I followed the book, but there's some, you know, that's why you have an accountant, because they know, oh, well, you know, you could write this up. But for the first few years of my working life, I didn't have an accountant. I didn't really need an accountant, per se. As I said, your career's just starting. There's not a lot of write-offs and things like that. You're earning a salary, and it might be a nice salary, but you don't have all those deductions that later on, you know, you need to know about your mortgage payments and your property taxes and your dependents and your contributions and your capital gains and all your business losses and or other losses that you may have taken, or you know, expense report. You know, you don't really have a lot of that. And I don't know how the heck I did it on my own. I used to do it for a while, and then I used to get really kind of Ugh, I would be right down to the wire. You know, that bugged the hell out of me. Because somebody that is organized, who likes to declutter, once again, I coined that phrase, who is organized, who likes to, I'm always, you know, I really don't procrastinate. I always, you know, get things in before the deadline. I make, you know, I'm always somewhere 10 minutes early. I mean, that's just my nature. And this was the one aspect of my life, these taxes, that I was right down to the wire, and it bugged the hell out of me. But I hated doing it. I never felt I was doing it right. A lot of times when I sent it in, it would come back and it would be revised because I did do it wrong. At least I got it in on time. I didn't suffer the penalty of late filing. I used to get it in before the deadline, barely. But there were some nights where I was burning the midnight oils to get that thing in so it would be postmarked. And younger people don't remember this at all. They still, I think it still exists to some extent, but snail mail today is such a thing of the past that I don't even know on the news if they even bother to cover it. But all I know is throughout my lifetime, certainly 30, 40 years ago, it was a regular thing. They would show it on the news, that post office, you know, the key was that your tax forms had to be postmarked by April 15th. You know, or 14th, whatever it was. And so there would be post office open until midnight, drop-offs. There would be lines of people. The local news would love to cover this because it was a great visual to show this long line of procrastinators who at, you know, 11:48 are still there turning this in, even though you mostly have most of your tax documents that you need to do your taxes by the end of January. I think there's even a law that all the companies or whoever that send you some kind of a tax document, they have to send it to you by, I believe it's the end of January or the first week of February. It's around that time. And you have to have access to that. So they have to get that stuff to you. So really, in theory, you've got February, March, and half of April. You got 2.5 months to do this. And it's not easy and it's not fun. But I don't know if it's really like climbing Mount Everest either. But most of us are not accountants. Most of us are not adept at this. We don't know all the rules. That's why we have accountants. They know the rules. They know how to do this stuff. They could do a tax form in their sleep. I got a friend of mine. I mean, you know, he's got his own tax firm or accounting firm. And, you know, I'm sure he could do a tax form of, like, not a business, but, you know, of say an individual, probably in 5 minutes. Boom, 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 boom. But for the majority of us, it's a scary thing. That booklet used to arrive. It was scary. And even to this day, it's still like, ugh. Now, to alleviate that stress in my life and also to make sure that I did it correctly, as opposed to always getting this revised one back and whatever, I finally said, you know what? I know it costs a little money, but I'd rather have it done correctly, and I'd rather have it done on time, early, so I don't even worry about it. And so, I don't know, 20-some years ago, or if even more than that, you know, probably way more than that, 30 years ago, whatever it is, I finally got an accountant and said, all right, boom, got my documents together. That's not easy. I have a little file during the year, and I put things in there, and then you get and wait for all your different little documents, tax forms from whoever you get them from, employers, blah, blah, blah. Put them all. I'm very good at organizing that. Very simple. I just need to know what forms I need, and I put those together, and I accumulate those during the year and accumulate them then at the beginning or the end of the year when I start to get them, now either online or in the mail still, and boom. For the most part, my taxes are filed by the first week of February. I don't even know what April 15th is. I haven't cared about April 15th in decades. It's another day to me. It used to be a hovering cloud over my head. The taxes are going to be due in a month. The taxes are going to be due in a week. The taxes are going to be due in a day. It really was stressful. And it made me mad at myself because, as I said before, in so many aspects of my life, I've always been very organized and punctual and on time, and I don't procrastinate. But the tax thing was the one thing I did, and it became this annual stress event. And so finally it was, you know what, I need to, and I wasn't doing it correctly either a lot of times. So it's like, I'm not only am I, you know, am I waiting, but I'm not even, it's not right. So yeah, it costs a little more, but for the peace of mind, for the accuracy, for the fact of probably, you know, getting some write-offs that I didn't even know. I'm probably made a little money that I, you know, over the years because of doing it correctly. But the biggest reason why I got a professional to do it was just such a stressful thing for me. And so to me, it was worth farming that out, because it was the bane of my existence. I was so organized and everything else, but when it came to those taxes, it was a different language to me, and I would put it off, and I hated myself for putting it off, and it was just terrible. Now, it's like, it has to, when I watch the news, now once again, I have an accountant, I get my forms together, my gosh, today, I mean, that's what I said before, you know, there used to be this long line by the post office. Well, now, I mean, I don't even know anybody that does an e-file. I mean, I don't even know if they accept mailed in tax forms anymore. I mean, do they even accept them? I mean, I can't believe I don't see it on the news anymore. If they do, it's almost like showing the new buggy, the new horse and buggy line. It's so out of date. But I don't know if they even have the all night, you know, midnight post office hours where they had the postal workers sitting there at the curb as this long line of cars were dropping them off. It seems so archaic. It seems so old-fashioned. I don't even know if they do that anymore, because I can't imagine why anybody would mail. There's some young people, I'm assuming, that don't even know how to mail. I bet you they don't even know how to mail a letter. So with e-filing now, no more lines. I would assume that, you know, now with e-filing too, I mean, even if you procrastinate, you could still make sure you can now from your house, you know, hit send at 11:58 and still be on time. In fact, I remember too, like if you lost your, you know, I was telling you about the ominous tax book that would come in the mail with your name on it. As I said before, I don't know if I finished that thought. They had a sticker on there with your name on it. That's how it came to the house. But then you peeled that sticker off, And then you applied it to your tax form because it had all your information, your name, address, and things like that. I even wonder back then when they used to send your tax form in the mail with that sticker with your name and everything. I wonder if they even had your Social Security number on that sticker, which meant that anyone at the post office, I don't know now, I'm just going off the top of my head, but I wouldn't be surprised if your Social Security number, because you use that sticker when you peeled it off, you use that same sticker, so they had your name and your address and everything like that, your vital information. I would not be surprised back in the day, before computers like that, when we all had computers and all this hacking was going on and all this identity theft was going on, before that, I would not be surprised if on that sticker that you peeled off the book and then later applied to your official tax form, I wouldn't be surprised if your Social Security number was even on that. But if you lost that little book, you could go to the post office or the library and get a new one. But then, of course, you didn't get the cool sticker that had your name on it that you peeled off and then put on your tax form when you sent it in. That was always cool. It was cool to peel that sticker off and put it on your tax form. Very neat. But now with e-filing, oh, once again, I don't do my taxes. I have someone prepare them for me. But, you know, I have my documents. I make copies. I scan them, send them over. They send me back the tax things. It's on there. Your DocuSign. You don't even sign your name anymore. Or you do and you scan it, you know. And then, boom, it's e-filed and done. I look every year to see, because I keep a running, you know, file on mine of when they were filed. And I'm always within the first or second week of February. My taxes are in. They're done. So for me, April 15th now is carefree. I don't know from April 15th. It is so nice. I think I've added at least 15 to 20 years of my life onto my life by not having to do my taxes. The stress of that was tremendous. And so I'm happy to say that I have alleviated that stress from my life. And now April 15 comes and goes. A lot of times I'll even joke and say to my wife, you know what some people are doing right now on April 14th, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, I'm sitting there on the couch watching television. I'm like, do you know what some people are doing right now? Right now, there is a lot of people with their sitting in front of a computer with their hand on their forehead, through their hair, wondering where this number goes or why these numbers don't add up. And I'm clicking stations. Sometimes you get a refund, sometimes you don't. But, oh, that penalty by law, I don't even know from it anymore. And then I have to think, because I'm, you know, over the years now I've just become attuned to having somebody prepare my taxes. But also, like I said, as a young kid and then as a young man, and even when we first got married, I was still doing our taxes. And it was still a pain. It was not easy for me. Well, now, in the last 30 years, we've got TurboTax and Chime and e-filing, and there's always a tax preparation place, H&R Block. Everybody heard of H&R Block. And you could go in there and do your taxes. That was around forever. And I believe there's an H&R Block, of course, H&R Block online. I can't see a young person in today's world even having any paper receipts of anything. Everything now you can download and send over. So I'm sure that most people, if they are using an outside service online, they're doing it, as I said, online. Or if they're doing themselves, they're not
They're not having to struggle like I did. There are now software programs, TurboTax and Chime and things like this, where I've never used them, but I'm sure it makes it a heck of a lot easier. So if the internet has, if the internet and online things have done one thing, I'm sure, certainly I know that they've made the filing much easier. A lot of times you'd be waiting for companies that's had to send you the necessary tax documents. If they were behind, then you were waiting on them. Well, now a lot of that has been alleviated because they don't mail them to you anymore. They're right online. You go in your account, you download them, and boom, you got them. That's one reason why I'm able to have all my documents ready to go by the first week of February and off to the accountant. So I would assume, even though I haven't used any of those self-tax preparation software online companies or softwares, I would assume it's got to be way easier than when I was struggling and reading that horrible tax book printed on that cheap paper with that horrible ink and horrible color, constantly reading penalty, 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 and writing those numbers in, and I wouldn't even do it initially in pen. I would do it in pencils because I was always erasing. And even when I sent it in, I never felt like it was right. And inevitably, I would always get something back about a month or so from the Internal Revenue Service that, here's your revised tax form. Here's what you get back, or here's what you owe. So I basically had, I filed it in many cases, but I actually had the government. It was my tax preparer. So I figured I'll give the government a break too. Let me hire a professional. I'll get it in. I'll get the documents I need to get in. They'll put all the numbers where they need to go. I get it back. Here's what you get back. Here's what you owe. DocuSign. Send. E-filed. Accepted. Thank you. Go on with life. Stress. Done. But I know for a lot of people, I'm sure, that this is a very, right now as I speak to you, this could be a very stressful time. And look, if I was somebody who was still doing my taxes, and it's not, and you find it like a horrible burden like I did, even if some of these online, tax preparation things make it easier, it's still kind of a pain in the butt to do it. Some people enjoy it. And like I said, I would assume that today the softwares make the process much easier, much more user-friendly. I would hope they do. Because my God, I mean, when you look at those lines, you have to read, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, hopefully they spell it out easy. What's your income? Put it over here. All those adjusted gross income, adjusted income. Put this on line C, and you're like, what? So I don't know how those online things work, but hopefully they're intuitive, and hopefully they really walk you through it so you can't make a mistake. Because Lord knows I made a lot of mistakes over the years until finally I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm making mistakes. It's very stressful. Let me just hire a professional. If you are doing them on your own, I say congratulations. More power to you. Hopefully the technology today makes it easier than what we had to go through 40 some years ago, 30, 40 years ago. But yeah, the tax, that whole tax experience. And then I never knew until later, until I got a tax attorney, a tax preparer, I never knew of what everybody was doing. If I would have known this little loophole, I might still be doing my taxes on my own. It wouldn't have been as stressful because I had no idea. Once again, you would see tax due April 15th. All you heard was April 15th, April 15th on the news, on TV, in that scary, poorly printed booklet, April 15th, April 15th, penalty, penalty, penalty. I had no idea that you could file for an extension. Oh! An extension? Which I think is like 2 or 3 months later. I think it's like for personal taxes, it might be like in July or something. Or even later. I don't know. I think they give you like 6 more months or something. Oh! Why didn't I ever know about that? In all those pages and that poorly printed, horrible tax book, I don't think I ever saw it because maybe I didn't know where to look. They certainly didn't have a lot of stars around it to say, oh, by the way, if this is a pain in the butt for you, you can get an extension, you know. Oh, they didn't. I don't remember that being in big, bold capital letters anywhere in that scary little book that they used to send to your house. But I find out later you're going to file for an extension, both businesses as well as personal, to give you a little more time. No penalty by law. Extension. Never had one. Never knew I couldn't have one until years later when I didn't need one. Oh. If only I had an extension. I was burning the midnight oils for so many years, and I could have just filed for an extension and went. Now, I probably would have waited till the week before the extension, but at least that April 15th date. Because there's one thing, even though, you know, it's for my process now, it's not that hard, right? As I said, I just have to accumulate the documents that I need, and now the documents are pretty much the same every year, so you get an idea of what you need. But when you would still, when the year is over and January 1st or 2nd comes, there is just this little tinge of, oh, so now I have to start really putting together all those tax forms. Even on January 2nd, I start thinking of the tax forms because I take all my bills and receipts from the past year now and I swap them out and start the new file for the coming year. So I'm already confronted with it. And then it reminds me about, oh, that tax thing. Now, as I said, it's less of a burden. It's a far less of a burden than it used to be. But even on January 2nd, that's me, folks. I'm already going, oh, that's right, the taxes. Because within a month, I'm filing pretty much. Within 5-6 weeks from the first day of the new year, I'm filing already. I'm not waiting until April 15th. Of course, if we owe money, I wait until I don't give the government their money right away. I keep that money for another month or two before I write them a check. I'm always mad that they don't send me the money quicker, but if I get a refund, but you know. But wow, what a part of life. The whole U.S. Internal Revenue Service, Treasury, tax experience is it's a part of growing up. It's a life milestone. It's a turning point in your life. As I said, I have memories of that first job and getting that W-2 form and feeling like, wow, this is getting serious now. It really is, you know, a milestone of your life, a moment where you go, okay, I'm not a kid anymore. And as I said, if you look at a person's tax filings over 40, 50, 60 years, 70 years, you can almost plot out their lives without ever knowing them, without ever meeting them, without ever knowing anything about them. You can almost see what the life that they led. Isn't that fascinating? I think so. So anyway, my taxes are done. Tomorrow is another day for me, April 15th, whatever. If you're burning the midnight oils, if you're Tobro taxing or you're H&R blocking online or you're chiming or you're e-filing, whatever you're doing, if you got to get that in there, thank you for wasting an hour of your precious time to fill out your forms. And now, get to work. Don't file for an extension. get to work, finish those taxes, e-file them before the deadline, because if you don't, there's a penalty. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 464. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of my mind to your ears. Don't forget, listening brings no penalty.